Anybody there? Good evening, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning into the program tonight. A couple of websites for you right away. Sam Simpson, the woman who's running in Florida's 10th, I believe, for Congress, will be joining us in about an hour. About an hour. All right. I had two more implants put in today, so I'm talking kind of funny. She'll be joining us about an hour. She has a new video up at YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com and in the search engine type in Sam Simpson, S-A-M-M. Or you can go to her website, samsimpsonforcongress.com. It's a 4-minute, 56-second video. So if you want to see this candidate and hear her, YouTube.com, Sam Simpson. The second website I have for you tonight, it's brand new. It's up, 35, the number, 35articles.com, www.35articles.com, and that is the 35 articles of impeachment that Dennis Kucinich laid out last night against the most criminal administration in the history of this country. That would be the crime family run by George W. Bush. So, 35articles.com. You ought to go there, print it off, and keep it for your children. And a program note, Vince Bugliosi will join us Thursday to talk about his latest book, which suggests that George W. Bush be tried for murder. You know who Bugliosi is. Former prosecutor from Los Angeles County. Among other things, he's the one that secured the conviction against the Manson family and then wrote a book about it, Helter Skelter. This was a million years ago. He also has other books out, but Vince will be joining us Thursday. I can call him Vince because we've talked to him before. Okay, Mr. Bugliosi. Picky. Did you do your homework? Did you check around national media today to see how they covered the story from last night? Huh? Right? Yeah, okay. So my mini blog at novamradio.com today was just drenched in sarcasm. The coverage was outrageously bare. The Belfast Telegraph in the UK covered it. Reuters had 8 sentences. What's his name? Frumkin at the Washington Post had 4 sentences. USA Today covered it on a blog only. The most hateful coverage was over at Capitol Hill Blue, and the comments brought old Doug Thompson of his leave of absence to sneer off his leave of absence to sneer at Kucinich. So I wasn't far wrong that media in all of its various configurations would ignore the story completely or give it such lightweight treatment as to render it, damning with faint praise. That, remember that expression? This would be condemning with faint coverage. Kucinich's reelection website was attacked this morning by a series of events several hours after he introduced those 35 articles of impeachment. According to officials in his campaign, Kucinich website managers and staff were starting to post some detailed information about the articles and some related news stories on the website early this morning when they noticed irregularities, possibly external tampering, with some of the private protected codes used to format information and to create the links to photos and videos and stuff. Within less than 2 hours, the entire site was non-functional. I must have gotten about 20 emails about it. The problems struck at a time when the website was receiving about 100,000 hits per hour from people seeking information about the articles of impeachment. And according to campaign officials, that volume of hits should have been easily managed by the site. The campaign issued a statement this morning saying, quote, "The response to Congressman Kucinich's bold and meticulously documented presentation of the case against the president has been overwhelmingly positive and powerful. Emails, phone calls, and text messages have been pouring in all day from supporters, end quote. I'm not sure if it's up and running again now. You can find out by just by going to, what is it, KucinichForCongress.com, is that it? Florida, excuse me, Congressman Robert Wexler, who I believe was on Randy's program this afternoon, senior member of the House Judiciary Committee, signed on to Kucinich's Articles of Impeachment against Bush. As you know, the articles outline numerous allegations against this thug, including the creation of his massive propaganda campaign to mislead us into war, illegal use of torture, on and on and on. Wexler said in a statement, quote, President Bush deliberately created a massive propaganda campaign to sell the war in Iraq to the American people, and the charges detailed in this impeachment resolution indicate an unprecedented abuse of executive power. Unprecedented abuse. Wexler goes on to say, a decision by Congress to pursue impeachment is not an option. It is a sworn duty. It's time for Congress to stand up and defend the Constitution, and so on and so on. And, of course, it was Wexler who launched a campaign, nationwide campaign, to hold impeachment hearings against Cheney earlier this year. He's also called for contempt against Karl Rove for ignoring subpoenas. And Wexler led an effort to bring Scott McClellan before the House to testify about what McClellan has revealed in his book. In case you didn't get it last night, the articles include creating a propaganda campaign to manufacture a false case for war against Iraq, falsely, systematically, and with criminal intent, conflating the attacks of September 11, 2001, with misrepresentation of Iraq as a security threat as part of a fraudulent justification for a war of aggression. Article 3 is misleading the American people and members of Congress to believe Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to manufacture a false case for war. Article 4, misleading the American people and members of Congress to believe Iraq posed an imminent threat to the United States. Article 5, illegally misspending funds to secretly begin a war of aggression. Article 6, invading Iraq in violation of the requirements of House Resolution 114. Article 7, invading Iraq absent a declaration of war. Article 8, invading Iraq, a sovereign nation in violation of the UN Charter. 9, failing to provide troops with body armor and vehicle armor. 10, falsifying accounts of U.S. troop deaths and injuries for political purposes. 11, establishment of permanent U.S. military bases in Iraq. 12, inflating a war against Iraq for control of that nation's natural resources. 13, creating a secret task force to develop energy and military policies with respect to Iraq and other countries. 14, misprison of a felony, misuse and exposure of classified information, and obstruction of justice in the matter of Valerie Plame Wilson. Article 15, providing immunity from prosecution for criminal contractors in Iraq. 16, reckless misspending and waste of U.S. taxpayer dollars in connection with Iraq and U.S. contractors. 17, illegal detention, detaining indefinitely without charge persons, both U.S. citizens and foreign captives. 18, torture. 19, rendition, kidnapping people and taking them against their will to black sites. 20, imprisoning children. 21, misleading Congress and the American people about threats from Iran. 22, creating secret laws. 23, violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. 24, spying on American citizens without a court-ordered warrant. Jesus, God, it just goes on and on. 35 articles of impeachment against, no argument, the most criminal administration ever, ever to run this country. We'll be back after the break. 21 past the hour. You know what? I think it's time for a moment with Bob. Yes, once again, audience, it's time for a moment with Bob. Hey, Mike, Napoleon said it's not necessary to censor the news. It's sufficient to delay the news until it no longer matters. Last night, you devoted your entire program to Dennis Kucinich's presentation of 35 articles of impeachment against President George W. Bush to Congress. Kucinich began, resolved that President George W. Bush be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. And then for nearly 5 hours, Kucinich recited the high crimes and misdemeanors of this rogue administration. Kucinich read into the record the lies, the war, the torture, the treason, and the imprisonment of children, a stomach-turning recitation of the vicious crimes this administration has committed against all of humanity. This morning, I went to the top 25 U.S. newspaper websites to see how the story was covered. Only three newspapers mentioned Kucinich's historic presentation from the night before on their websites. 5 days ago, the New York Times reported on the release of the Senate Intelligence Committee findings that Bush and his aides built the public case for war against Iraq on lies. As Jon Stewart pointed out on The Daily Show, ABC and CBS ignored the story, while NBC's Brian Williams devoted a scant 63 words to the story. And that was that. 23 years ago, the Television Information Office reported that 65% of Americans obtained their news from television. 6 years ago, Bill Moyer's Now program reported that 25% of Americans got their news from talk radio, which meant that most of that 25% were getting their news filtered through Rush Limbaugh and his ilk. But today, how many Americans know that the Senate Intelligence Committee concluded that George Bush and members of his administration lied us into war with Iraq? How many Americans know that Dennis Kucinich laid out 35 reasons why Bush should be impeached? How many Americans know about Article 20, the imprisonment of children in Bush's war on terror? Well, at least we still have the Internet. Or maybe not. According to an email I just received from KucinichForCongress.com, his website was crippled early this morning. Most always, trying to ferret out the news is an uphill battle. Today, it's almost vertical. If a tree falls in a forest with no one to hear it, does it make a sound? If a tree falls in a forest and the mainstream media doesn't cover it, is there a forest? Paraphrasing my neighbor, who, when told one of Schwarzenegger's first acts as governor was to sign off for 10 cents on the dollar, a suit already won by California against Enron, when he told me that if that were true, he'd have seen it on the news. And thus concludes another Moment with Bob. Yeah, I couldn't wait to open the two newspapers. I get hard copies of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the New York Times. And as Bob did, as you did, as a lot of people did today, I went around to the various websites of leading newspapers. Nothing. Gail writes, Mike, just want to offer simple, deeply felt thank you for playing lengthy excerpts from Dennis Kucinich's articles of impeachment in the House yesterday. I don't know, she writes, which is more disturbing, the list of filthy, disgusting, traitorous, heinous crimes, or the near blackout about it by nearly all the news media, or the apparent indifference by most of Congress. No surprise, of course, yet the longer they just let it all go by, the more I fear we might be on an irreversible slide back into the dark ages. As a nation and as a planet, we're already so damaged by the savages in charge that it'll be anyone's guess as to whether we can ever undo all the harm. Gail. Ed in Miami, Eduardo in Miami. Hey, Malloy, I heard it on Olbermann. Obama's camp says they won't touch it out of fear of losing the election. Impeachment. I'm sick to my stomach, Mike. Blank, blank these blanking, blank, blank Democrats. Woo! And blank, blank me for caring. We'll be listening tonight. Have a great show. Ed. Wow, you cuss better than I do, Ed. Son of a gun. And Joe from Cleveland. Mike, the coverage of Kucinich's move to introduce articles of impeachment was but a scant paragraph on page A5 of his hometown newspaper, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and buried in the Briefs from Wire Reports column. Curiously, the 35 articles of impeachment became a 35-count resolution, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. What was on the front page? Stormy weather, vegetarian diet, and poisonous tomatoes. Just thought I'd report. Joe from Cleveland.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Sandy in Portland writes, Mike, I usually don't hear Bill Press's radio show, which airs 6 to 9 in the morning because of my work schedule. However, this morning was one of those rare times when I did hear his program, during which he devoted two sentences to Kucinich's courageous and patriotic call for the constitutional call for articles of impeachment. Press noted Kucinich's lengthy oration last night and then said impeachment is a waste of time and that we, quote, have better things to do, unquote. I'm not sure why I was left almost speechless, but I was. I've often thought that if I were asked by one of those so-called roving reporters about the most important thing for the U.S. and its citizens, my answer would be to restore the Constitution and prosecute the Bush administration for its multiple high crimes. I'm sure all I'd get back is blank stares and laughs. I don't get these people. I really don't. Sandy in Portland. I don't either. We are definitely in an energy crisis, so-called. It's really a fossil fuel crisis, but let's call it an energy crisis. We have abundant energy on this planet, but it's just not being utilized at all. The biggest nuclear reactor for light years around is sitting right up in the about 93 million miles from Earth. It could be used to do everything that we possibly need, as it always has until the Industrial Revolution. Everything that we possibly need is provided by energy from this huge reactor, the sun. The crisis, of course, is how it just seems so absolutely patently ridiculous. We're killing ourselves. We're killing the planet. We are killing each other over these dumbass fossil fuel remaining reserves. It's just insanity of the highest order. I hope some alien race somewhere is taking note for one of its abnormal psychology classes, perhaps, as to what is happening here. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. Every single iota of power necessary to run 10 Earths is sitting right up in the heavens. But no. So anyway, down here in hell, a Democratic proposal in the Senate to impose heavier taxes on big oil companies died today in the Senate. The bill would have rolled back some $17 billion in tax breaks that the big oil companies get. The most profitable corporate behemoths in the history of capitalism, in the history of any ism, are the oil companies. When every quarter, when their profits have been reported, billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars in profit, and at the same time, we are paying them, in addition to what we pay for everything else, the cost of food, the cost of petroleum, the cost of gasoline, the cost of everything, because damn near everything is petroleum based in this country. Name me something that isn't. Oh, your children's love for you. Okay, well, that's true. In spite of all that, in spite of the enormous profits that they make, we, you and I, are giving these oil companies $17 billion in tax breaks every year. Well, this year. It'll be more in 07. It'll be more in 08. So, Democrats decided, okay, enough is enough in the Democrats' twisted, myopic, whiny-ass, cowardly way, and decided to try to impose this windfall tax on the oil companies, windfall profits tax. If they didn't take that $17 billion in tax breaks and invest in new energy sources, well, have the Democrats tapped into the cosmic asininity source? Do the Democrats have a direct pipeline to stupidity? Why in the world would the oil companies take some of their profits or their tax breaks and try to develop new energy sources? Are you kidding me? We are Americans. We are the dumbest asses ever to populate a chunk of real estate. We have been driving Hummers and SUVs and great big behemoths. We consume, that means destroy, 25% of this planet's resources, and we constitute 6% of this planet's population. At what point is the rest of the world going to rise up and say, enough, the best way to restore sanity on the planet is to butcher every single American, cut them into chunks and feed them to the fish? When is that going to happen, huh? The Democrats' bill to tax the oil companies didn't move forward because they couldn't get enough votes to move it forward. 51 senators voted to bring the measure up for consideration, but that's 9 short of the number needed under Senate rules. You need 60? I thought 60 was what was necessary to shut off debate. Oh, well, 43 senators, most of them Republicans, voted no, no reforms, no, 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 no. Now, the oil tax proposal was one of two energy-related bills that failed to advance. The other was a proposal to amend the Internal Revenue Code by providing what was called incentives for energy production and conservation to extend certain expiring provisions to provide individual income tax relief and for other purposes, end quote. Huh? You like that? Nah, I don't know what the hell that means either. That's the way the measure to promote new energy sources was described. Why don't they just say to promote new energy sources? Oh, well, never mind. The vote on that, to take up that legislation, was 50-44, 10 less yes votes than were necessary. So everything went into the Republican toilet. Everything. Because the Democrats are cowardly, useless sons of bitches who have no business being in power at all. Because they are cowardly. Oh, maybe not. Maybe they are just the other side of the aisle, as they like to say. They're as bad as Republicans, and Republicans hate America and hate Americans. Republicans especially hate people in uniform. Republicans said that higher taxes on big oil would backfire, driving up gasoline prices and discouraging new domestic oil production and exploration. That means to rape Alaska. That means to pollute and defile the Gulf of Mexico and the coastlines on both the east and west coasts of the United States. Meanwhile, the sun sits up there and just pumps trillions upon trillions, quadrillions, quintillions of kilowatt hours of energy every single second of every minute of every hour of every day, just blasts it at us. Trillions, uncountable measurements of energy, power, the sun. Every single thing that happens on Earth is incapable of happening without the sun. Except maybe for the existence of certain amoeba and cockroaches. And even that's arguable. The Republican Minority Leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, whose beard is Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Labor. Is she still Secretary of Labor? Is she? You never hear about Secretary of Labor anymore, do you? Anyway, he said, quote, those who think we can tax our way out of this problem are wrong. Okay. Bush's spokesman, Tony Fratto, my bad, said that the United States was, quote, paying a price today for decades of Democratic opposition and regulatory obstacles to increasing domestic oil production, end quote. Tony Fratto went on to say, instead of populist votes that would do nothing for gas prices, we need to allow domestic oil production in environmentally sensitive ways. That was his allusion to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. A Republican saying, we need to allow domestic oil production in environmentally sensitive ways. Oh, God. And they say that, and it's picked up by AP and the Times and Reuters and put out there as though there was some truth to what this pig bastard is saying. Meanwhile, this enormous, enormous nuclear reactor is sitting out there 93 million miles from Earth, bathing us every second of every hour of every day. Trillions of kilowatt hours.
Get our hands on that greasy, slimy stuff. For the love of oil, we lost 4,000 people. For the love of oil, we're roasting our green planet.
There's gas in our hemisphere, and the fundamental question is, where is it going to come from? I'd like it to be American gas.
Yeah, okay. After this top of the hour break, we're going to be joined for a few minutes by Sam Simpson, running for District 10 in Florida as a Democrat. Her campaign website is Sam, two M's, SamSimpsonForCongress.com, or go to YouTube and type in her name and watch the 4-minute, 56-second video if you like. A BBC investigation, not a NBC or a CBS investigation. Remember back in the day, this is an NBC white paper, or was that CBS? It really doesn't matter, does it? ABC reports, remember all that? Anyway, a BBC investigation estimates that around $23 billion may have been lost, stolen, or just not properly accounted for in Iraq. Well, guys, that's a little low, but it's a start. BBC says for the first time the extent to which some private contractors have profited. No, wrong word, BBC. Stolen. Committed criminal acts is the more proper term. For the first time, the extent to which some private contractors have profited from the conflict and rebuilding has been researched by the BBC's Panorama program using U.S. and Iraqi government sources. A U.S. gag order is preventing discussion of the allegations. The order applies to 70 court cases against some of the top U.S. companies. While George Bush remains in the office, the BBC says, it is unlikely the gagging orders, that's what they call them, will be lifted. To date, no major U.S. contractor faces trial for fraud or mismanagement in Iraq. The president's Democratic opponents are keeping up the pressure over war profiteering in Iraq. Henry Waxman said, quote, the money that's gone into waste, fraud, and abuse under these contracts is just so outrageous, it's egregious.
Whoa.
It may turn out to be the largest war profiteering in history, end quote. Well, Henry, why don't you take Nancy Pelosi into the cloakroom, and when the two of you come out, Nancy will be convening the House Judiciary Committee to consider article... Oh, never mind. The BBC is almost cute when it writes, in the run-up to the invasion, one of the most senior officials in charge of procurement in the Pentagon objected to a contract potentially worth $7 billion that was given to Halliburton, a Texas company which used to be run by Dick Cheney before he became vice president. Unusually, only Halliburton got to bid. And won. Only Halliburton got to bid. And won, by God! That's like Hillary Clinton running for president in, where was it? Michigan. Huh? If you only have one name on the ballot, if you only have one name on the bidding sheet, guess what? You win! You win! Yay! The search for the missing billions also led the program to, that's the BBC program, Panorama, nothing to do with American journalism, also led the program to a house in Acton in West London where Hazim Shalan lived until he was appointed to the new Iraqi government as Minister of Defense in 2004. He and his associates siphoned an estimated $1.2 billion out of the ministry. The Ministry of Defense. They bought old military equipment from Poland, but claimed it was top-class weapons and sold it to Iraq. Meanwhile, they diverted the real money into their own accounts. Judge so-and-so of Iraq's Commission for Public Integrity investigated, and the judge said, I believe these people are criminals. He went on to say, they failed to rebuild the Ministry of Defense, and as a result, the violence and the bloodshed went on and on. The murder of Iraqis and foreigners continues, and they bear responsibility. They do? Mr. Shalan was sentenced to two jail terms if he fled the country. He said he's innocent and that it was all a plot against him by, no, not the Jews, by pro-Iranian members of parliament in the Iraq government. If you're interested, the program called Daylight Robbery. Is today Tuesday? Is this Tuesday? It is? It's all day, right? Okay. The program Daylight Robbery is on BBC One. 9 p.m. tonight. Well, I guess it's already been broadcast. Do we have BBC? Don't we? Okay. It's called Daylight Robbery. So the BBC declares that they have found $23 billion that was stolen, but not allowed to talk about it. Americans are not allowed to talk about it. Of course not, because, well, you know, it's in the courts now. We don't comment on active cases, therefore we don't comment on anything ever about nothing whatsoever. It's impossible. And Iran's ambassador to the UN has delivered a letter to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon that is a response to Israel's Deputy Prime Minister Shaul Mofaz's comments last week regarding an imminent attack on Iran. And I may share the God. I may share the letter with you a little bit later. So all you people who love to call me a Jew hater, get ready to send in your filthy emails. I didn't write the letter. It was written by the ambassador from Iran to the UN. It's interesting reading, of course, because everything in the Middle East is insane. That sad, devastated part of the planet was cursed with oil. Meanwhile, there's this huge, massive nuclear reactor sitting 93 million miles from Earth, dumping trillions upon trillions, uncountable numbers of kilowatts of power, or megawatts, or gigawatts, or whatever, on Earth, all flooding down to Earth every single hour of every single day, massive amounts of power that is flooding in here while we continue to fight about oil and who's going to be dead next. Welcome back to the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. We're going to take a slight diversion from the normally intense subjects we get into and have another conversation here with Sam Simpson. Hey, Sam.
Mike, it's nice to be on your show again. Thank you so much. Thank you for being such a warrior.
Okay. I hope everybody did what I suggested last hour. Go to your website or your new YouTube video that I saw. That was well done. You, for 4 minutes, 56 seconds, talking to... You have a good presentation. You have a good way of getting that idea across.
Thank you.
I couldn't help but compare what you were saying and your style of delivery to McCain the other night. I'm sorry.
Wait, I didn't have the marketable smiles, though. You know, like every once in a while, you just turn your lips up, you know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, was that horrible?
All right, what's going on in the 10th district race? Sam is running for the U.S. House in the 10th District of Florida, which includes a big chunk of Pinellas County on Florida's west coast. It's not all Pinellas, is it?
It's not all Pinellas. They have it gerrymandered out to a couple of other districts, but it is quite a big chunk. All the beaches, Largo, Seminole, Pinellas Park, Dunedin, some of St. Pete, mm-hmm. Kennett City, there's 24 municipalities.
Wow.
It's been really interesting, Mike, because the last time we spoke, there was one person who was a Republican who decided to become a Democrat, who decided to run, who's a self-made millionaire. And now there's another person who's decided to come in the race, who's been a Republican, who's become a Democrat, who's decided to run. And so there's going to be a three-way primary with Democrat. Well, I'm the real Democrat, but actually I'm an independent thinking Democrat. Let's get that clear. But a three-way primary race against a 38-year Republican incumbent, this has never happened before in the history of the county.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. So there's going to be a primary August 26th. With three people. It'll be Max, Bob, and Sam. And
sounds like a vaudeville act.
I know, it's crazy. Well, you get the three of us in a room, and we did have one debate maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and word tells me that I won. because, you know, we've been out there. We've been
out there
just like you for 2 or 3 years talking about what's becoming very apparent. The evil, maniacal, absolutely atrocious, reprehensible leadership in this country that's dragging this nation down into ruin.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. Is the dissatisfaction in the 10th an indication of dissatisfaction with your with the current incumbent, or is it just a kind of a blanket, I've had enough of Republicans kind of attitude?
Well, if you talk about the two people that jumped into the race, they're riding the wave. There's discomfort down here, although Pinellas County is relatively diversified in its industry. Mm-hmm. We are having some housing foreclosures. Florida's, you know, pretty big in the foreclosure industry.
Right.
And at the same time, gas prices are killing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people to go to my website, which we had to change, Mike, because, you know, there was a porno website that was made after me. You know, I told you that, right?
I think you did mention
right,
that.
Right, right. Well, we had to change the website just to Sam, S-A-M-M, Simpson.com. And if people go to my blog.
Oh, no, wait. It's SamSimpson.com.
Yeah, well,
that's it.
Yeah, you can go to both of them, but, you know, we try to encourage people
okay.
to go to it. But you know what? There's a video on there that someone sent me the other night that was from a guy named Lindsay Williams, and he was a chaplain at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's of the mind. You're talking about solar energy and this kind of thing.
Right.
He's of the mind that 30 years ago he watched 200 billion gallons worth of gas crude oil, be discovered in Alaska and immediately put away in secret documents, never to be heard from again.
Really?
Yeah. Now, watch this presentation, folks. Go to the blog and see it for yourself. But I tell you what, the lies are so thick. I mean, we have to dig deep to find, mm-hmm. you know, what the truth is. And I'm not sure any of us, you know, really know right now.
What was your take? I don't know if you watched him last night, but Dennis Kucinich, who may be one of your colleagues pretty soon, as you know,
mm-hmm.
introduced a resolution containing 35 articles of impeachment. What was your take on what he had to say?
I watched part of it. I'm reading the document now. It seemed to go a little bit all over the map in terms of the end, bringing in Katrina and bringing these other things. But I say go Dennis Kucinich. You know, impeach them. There's going to be a vote. Let's find out how people vote.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are war criminals.
Well, and the other thing to me, Sam, and of course this probably will not affect you unless a President Obama decides to pursue these thugs once they're out of office, which I just discovered last night is entirely possible. Whether or not a Democratic president will pursue it or not is arguable. Clinton didn't when the crimes committed during Iran-Contra were beginning to be made public. Clinton dropped the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I can't help but think that it is necessary, if for no other reason, to have a record of what these people did, other than just a resolution introduced by a House member. I mean an actual record, which would be produced by impeachment hearings. So if it does come up after this next election, and you are in the U.S. House, and if somebody does introduce it as a resolution to begin these hearings, I would think that it would be absolutely necessary for the U.S. House to pursue this.
There is no question, Mike. You know, during this whole Democratic presidential thing where they're
mm-hmm.
going to pick who they're going to pick,
right.
I've pretty much remained neutral because in my mind, no matter who the president is, and God forbid it's McCain, but no matter who the president is, it's Congress. It's Congress that has to be powerful. It's Congress that has to have the kahunas to override vetoes, to subpoena, to impeach, to try, to convict. It's Congress that's going to get our writ of habeas corpus back. It's Congress that's going to stop the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's Congress that's going to repeal the Patriot Act. It's not the president. So whoever it is in there, and God forbid,
mm-hmm.
God forbid that Obama forgive these people. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I think that would be a major mistake. It certainly would be a grave historical error. Now back to your race. How does it look? I realize now all of a sudden you've got this primary that you're facing. But has there been any polling as to the popularity of the incumbent in the 10th district, whether or not he's got a chance to retain his seat?
There has been polling, and the polling has been said that a Democrat can win. If a Democrat wins down here, Mike, it will be a shot heard round the world, because Congressman Young has been in for 38 years. He was chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Blackwater was in his office after the Fallujah, the four people were killed, making their contracts for further mercenary work in Iraq. Mm-hmm. He had the purse strings on the war from the very beginning. If Congressman Young can be defeated, mm-hmm. then it is a shot heard round the world. Nothing is impossible. We figure with the primary, because my name was on the ballot in 2006, mm-hmm. that I've got a pretty good shot of winning the primary if I raise a mere $25,000.
That's not much.
That's not much. So I figure that if we get 5,000 people to give up 2 gallons of gas,
oh God,
send me that $10. You know, I can
you.
Do it. You
I
know,
I hear you.
I mean, my goodness, people are hurting these days.
That's one of the reasons to get your website known, samsimpson.com. And I would hope, honest to God, I would hope people will come to your website and take a look at what you're about, because. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. Now, when you said the polling indicates a Democrat can win or could win, I hope that polling doesn't indicate it would be a Democrat who would have to adopt Republican points of view. I mean, a real Democrat who could get in there and win.
I believe we can. The county itself just turned blue for Democratic registrations. So we know that there is that wave of history happening down here just as well as we saw, you know, across the country. So we're feeling rather, you know, skippy about it, to tell you the truth. We really mm-hmm. think that we've got a shot at this. We got to get through the primary, but the primary is the same day as the Democratic convention. Mm-hmm. And only maybe 25 to 35% of the people come out and vote, unfortunately, during the primary when you've got that kind of, you know, competition. But we figure we only need about 15,000 votes. I got 67,000 votes 2 years ago.
That's a good sign. Do you have active volunteer staff, force?
Yes, we certainly do. We have like 50 or 60 or 70 volunteers out there. And check this out, Mike. I sat down with Congressman Young a week and a half ago and had breakfast.
You did?
Yes, I did. And he said he will debate me if I win the primary. And I said, well, why wouldn't you do that in 2006? He says, well, you know, I didn't know you then. I trust you now. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but the bottom line is I'm going to make him come out and debate. You know, I don't think he's done it in 30 years, maybe 40.
He trusts you.
That's what he said.
Show up at the debate with a ball-peen hammer.
Exactly. And you know what he said that was very interesting that your listeners might be want to know? Because I was asking him about Iran.
Right.
You know, we've been hearing about bombing Iran for 2 years. And it would be the most horrible thing in the world, even more horrible than what we're doing. He said, we're not going to bomb Iran. I said, how do you know? He says, I can't tell you. We're not going to bomb Iran. And he said it for a fact. Now, what that leads me to believe, Mike, is we're not going to do it. Who are we going to give permission to?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Somebody in the Middle East. Hey, Sam. Sam, we're flat out of time.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's talk again. Stay in touch. And I hope people will go to samsimpson.com. Take care, Sam.
Thank you, Mike, Ian, and Kathy, and Molly.
All right, take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 23 past the hour. Kay in San Francisco writes in, Mike, hearing Congressman Kucinich's enumeration of the crimes of the Bush administration on the podcast this afternoon was stunning. I have forgotten about so many of these items, partly because of the sheer volume of crimes and partly due to the corporate media, which has ignored most of this evidence in favor of stories about the latest drug-addicted Hollywood starlet. As Kucinich began the section on Hurricane Katrina, he quoted from a 2001 report listing the three greatest potential dangers to the United States. One, a terrorist attack on New York City. Two, a Category 4 hurricane that would destroy New Orleans. And three, a serious earthquake hitting the San Francisco Bay Area. Thinking about what would have happened or could still happen should the last of those items occur before the Bush crime family leaves office is terrifying, and not because of the possibility of the earthquake itself. We're pretty blasé about earthquakes out here, to our detriment. No, the most terrifying aspect of my city being number three on that list is understanding what happened to numbers one and two. Add in the fact that San Francisco is known as the most liberal city in the nation, and you can bet that Bush wouldn't even be bothered to do a photo op flyover. Kay in San Francisco. Yeah, true. Okay, we may be going, the Bush crime family may attack another country, Iran. So, I got an email here from Suzanne today. She writes, that son of a bitch, she writes SOB, Bolton, Josh Bolton, was on the radio today basically telling people to get ready for another attack against a sovereign country. We are going to nuke them, Mike. There's no question in my mind, unless by some miracle Congress has an emergency hearing, the House has an emergency hearing, and issues a warning to Bush that if he initiates any aggression against Iran, they will begin impeachment hearings immediately. Well, Suzanne, I don't think that would... I don't think Dick Cheney gives a damn, because they would say you initiate impeachment hearings and we'll declare martial law. I don't know. But anyway, here is the letter from Iran's ambassador to the UN, Mohammad Kazai, in response to Israel's deputy prime minister Shaul Mofaz's comments last week regarding an imminent attack on Iran. It's addressed to His Excellency Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, New York. Excellency, upon instructions from my government and in pursuance of the previous letters of this mission, including the letter circulated as document so-and-so regarding the blatant violation of the most basic principles of international law by the Israeli regime in making threats against the Islamic Republic of Iran, I wish to draw your attention to the following. Emboldened by the absence of any action by the Security Council and in full contempt for the most basic provisions of the Charter of the United Nations, particularly the provisions which call for refraining, quote, from any threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state, or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations, end quote, the Israeli regime's officials, in continuation of their aggressive policies and unlawful practices, have relentlessly and in full impunity continued to make threats of resorting to force against the Islamic Republic of Iran under false pretexts. This mission has, through previous communications, in particular the above-mentioned letters, brought to the attention of the Secretary General and the Security Council's presidents some of the instances that the Israeli regime has threatened to use force against my country. Once again, as reported by the media on 6 June 2008, the Israeli Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Transportation, Shaul Mofaz, has repeated the same insolent threat of use of force against the Islamic Republic of Iran in an interview with an Israeli newspaper by saying that Israel, quote, will attack Iran, attacking Iran in order to stop its nuclear plans will be unavoidable, end quote. We'll continue this right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Twenty-five before the hour. Back to this letter written by Iran's ambassador to the United Nations, one Mohammad Kazi, in response to Israel's deputy prime minister Shaul Mofaz's comments last week regarding an imminent nuclear attack. An imminent attack, not nuclear, on Iran. And the reason I'm reading this letter is not to rattle your cage or piss you off. It's because we presented what Mr. Shaul Mofaz said last week. So here's a response. And it's in the form of a letter to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the UN. The Iranian ambassador, let me go back a line, says, once again, as reported by the media on 6 June 2008, the Israeli Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Transportation, Shaul Mofaz, has repeated the same insolent threat of use of force against the Islamic Republic of Iran in an interview with an Israeli newspaper by saying that Israel, quote, will attack Iran. Attacking Iran in order to stop its nuclear plans will be unavoidable, end quote. Such a dangerous threat against a sovereign state and a member of the United Nations constitutes a manifest violation of international law and contravenes the most fundamental principles of the Charter of the United Nations and thus requires a resolute and clear response on the part of the United Nations, particularly the Security Council. Threatening to resort to force by various officials of the Israeli regime against the Islamic Republic of Iran is indeed a manifestation of threat to international and regional peace and security by a regime whose policies and practices are based on aggression, state terrorism, and defiance of all basic principles of international law. Regrettably, the inactions of the Security Council in addressing such Israeli policies and the impunity with which the said regime has been allowed to insist on threatening other countries has emboldened it to continue and even increase its unlawful behaviors and policies to the extent that it engages as a matter of routine policy to openly threaten the use of force against a member of the United Nations. It is well known to the international community that the Israeli regime, which has never been a party to the international instruments on the prohibition of weapons of mass destruction, has clandestinely developed nuclear weapons, undoubtedly nuclear weapons in the hands of an irresponsible regime with a long record of war crimes and crimes against humanity, poses the most immediate and serious threat that the world and the region are facing. Contrary to the baseless allegations fabricated by the Zionist regime, the Islamic Republic of Iran has unambiguously and vehemently rejected and opposed all kinds of weapons of mass destruction, including the nuclear weapons. As a state party to Chemical Weapons Convention, Biological Weapons Convention, and the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, the Islamic Republic of Iran has on many occasions officially declared that weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, as the most inhumane weapons, have no place in the defense doctrine of this country. I wish to reiterate my government's position that while the Islamic Republic of Iran has no intention to attack any other nation, nonetheless, in accordance with its inherent right under Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations, it would not hesitate to act in self-defense, to respond to any attack against the Iranian nation, and to take appropriate defensive measures to protect itself. I'm also sending an identical letter to the President of the Security Council. Please accept, Excellency, the assurances of my highest consideration. Signed, Mohammad Kazi, Ambassador and Permanent Resident Representative, I should say, of the United Nations. So there you have it. The language in a couple of instances was less than diplomatic, was it not? But then again, is it diplomatic to threaten to attack another country because it is doing exactly what you have done? Or at least the allegation is. This is a thing, I have a hard time with this one, I really do. Maybe somebody can straighten me out, because God knows I need straightening out. Let's just stick with the United States. The United States demands that countries not develop nuclear weapons under penalty of all sorts of sanctions and possible invasion or attack by the United States. And yet the only country on earth to ever have used these weapons in an act of war is the United States. That's A. B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and I is the fact that the single most aggressive nation on earth has been, for the past 50 years, the past 100 years, the United States of America. Us. We-ins. We have invaded more countries. We have troops on the soil of more nations. We have issued more threats than any other nation in the history of the human race, with the possible exception, perhaps, maybe, of the Roman Empire, and I doubt that. This, even though we were warned by the framers of the Constitution not to involve ourselves in foreign entanglements. Remember that? Remember that one? That's so quaint. So, the problem I have is, here we are, the nation that aggressively involves itself in the internal affairs of other countries and the external affairs of other countries. We attack, we bomb, we murder, we destroy, we sanction, we isolate. We do all this. We just do. And if that pisses you off, hearing me say it, I have two words for you. No, not those two. These two. Grow up. This is what we've done. This is what we do. This is U.S. foreign policy and has been since the Spanish-American War, which kind of initiated or kicked off U.S. empire. So, we order countries under penalty of invasion and occupation not to do what we have done. And that is the development of weapons of mass destruction. We are the nation, especially in the past 7 years under George W. Bush, that has either abrogated or abandoned treaties that have to do with weapons of mass destruction, or have refused when the rest of the world says we've got to stop X. Whatever the weapons program is, we've got to stop this one. The U.S. raises this middle finger, usually under the persona of Josh Bolton, and tells the rest of the world to F off. We're not going to do it. Cluster bombs? Sorry. We like them. Landmines? We like them. Nuclear weapons? Get out of town. Poisons? Biochemical weapons? Secrets. So it is beyond arrogance. And I think this is the reason, this is the reason the rest of the world, given a chance, despises what we are doing, hates us. It is not what George Bush says. It's not because we buy houses. It is because we pollute and crap on the rest of the planet. And we tell other sovereign states, keep your hands on the counter where we can see them. Do not take your hands out of our sight. Do not develop nuclear weapons. Do not do this. Do not develop nuclear energy. Do not. And then we say, well, you see, these countries are Islamist and therefore a huge threat. Jesus God, I'm so sick of this. Aren't you? Aren't you? What's that, sir? If I don't like it here, get my ass out of the country. Oh, you see this? Look over here. You see this? That's an obscene gesture. You know what that means? Good. We are going to take a whole bunch of phone calls because, frankly, last night was, I think, unique in my radio career. Certainly the 35 articles of impeachment. But to give over the program to one speech by one man, well, not a speech, but, you know, the reading of one resolution in the U.S. House, that's never happened on this program before. So let us do some phone calls. 800-989-1480 is the number. If you have some comments on what happened last night and subsequent to the introduction of that resolution, how media in this country have just absolutely ignored it. I mean, it's like it didn't happen. 35 articles of impeachment put together carefully and deliberately researched and presented. 35. How many were there suggested against Tricky Dick? 6? 7 maybe? 35 articles of impeachment. Everything from murder and mayhem to the imprisonment of children to the abandoning of treaties to, I mean, just on and on. Criminal acts against the citizens of this country. On and on and on. And this media, our media, today turned its face away and told us about poison tomatoes, for Christ's sake.
Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 9 before the hour. Boy, is this is a mind freeze. Anti-war protesters are banned from demonstrating against Bush in London this Sunday. The story from firstpost.co.uk. London police have announced a ban on anti-war campaigners hoping to protest against President George Bush's visit to Downing Street this Sunday. The ban has been immediately condemned as a, quote, totalitarian act, end quote, by the playwright Harold Pinter, while Stop the War organizers are urging people to defy it and to demonstrate nearby in Parliament Square. Quote, in what is supposed to be a free country, the Stop the War Coalition has every right to express its views peacefully and openly. This ban is outrageous and makes the term democracy laughable, Harold Pinter said today. Lindsay German, a leader of the Stop the War Coalition, said, quote, it seems that when George W. Bush visits this country, traditional rights of assembly are to be removed from the people. We are calling on those who care about our democratic rights to come to Parliament Square at 5 p.m. on Sunday, 15 June. Some of those who signed statements accusing Bush of war crimes will be leading this protest. George Bush has been dictating British foreign policy for many years. Now it appears his security services are determining our rights to protest. This is a disgrace, and we will challenge the ban, end quote. The question is, will anyone show up to protest? I don't know how the Brits feel. It is an absolute mind scrambler to think that the British government would tell their citizens in London that their rights to peaceful assembly are suspended while this tyrannical son of a bitch is in London. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Nick in New Hampshire sent that to me. Thank you, Nick. The thing that is absolutely insane, this happens. How many countries have been invaded by security services? Hundreds, thousands of them. Whenever this cretin, this filthy pig that runs the United States goes to visit. How many times? How many countries? It's astonishing. I mean, the most hated world leader on earth is George W. Bush. The most despised because of what he's done. And he just sits up there and just kind of smiles. So what does old lady say the other day? Where is that? What did Pickles say? Well, George is going to, oh, here it is. First Lady Laura Bush acknowledged President Bush's unpopularity, but said Monday that history will vindicate her husband's two-term presidency. In an interview on ABC's Good Morning America, Mrs. Bush noted the ousting of the Taliban in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein in Iraq. She said, quote, I know he may not be that popular right now, but we've liberated two countries. 50 million people have been liberated from very brutal regimes, and I think that's really important, end quote. She said the president has stood on the side of emerging democracies in Central Europe. She said, quote, he's going to have a really unbelievably great legacy with the advantage of hindsight, end quote. Oh, my God. Mrs. Bush flew to Slovenia on Sunday after making an unannounced trip to Afghanistan, her third as First Lady. She is with Bush for his final U.S.-European Union summit and is accompanying him to other European capitals, blah, blah, blah. She said, quote, none of these things are easy. None of the big, big infrastructure items like highways or hydroelectric power or electricity to parts of the country that have never had electricity, I think she means have yet happened. Plus, she says, you have this country that's mountains, many, many very remote villages, very, very cold winters, when it makes it almost impossible because there are no roads to get a lot of these remote mountainous villages. What? So he's going to have a great legacy. He has freed 50 million people. Are you aware of that, Truth Seeker? We have liberated two countries. That's what we've done. There you go. That's the ticket. We have liberated. Well, not you and me, because we were against it. We wanted the people of Afghanistan and Iraq to remain in chains. We wanted them to be forever treated as dogs, pigs, birds, corn stalks. And George W. Bush and his astonishingly astute cabinet and war councils and advisors looked at what the American people were advocating and said, no, no, 1,000 times no. The people of Afghanistan have the right to wear white shoes after April 1st. The children must fly kites again. The people of Iraq are what? Fill in the blank. And we're going to give it to them. We really are. We're going to give it to them. Oil? We don't care about the oil. We're not interested in the oil. It'd be nice if that oil was off the world market, though, because then the speculation. Well, never mind about that. Just kidding. Operation Iraq Liberation. Oil. My goodness. So, contravening the absolute insistence of a bunch of peace creep, cowardly, yellow-bellied liberals in this country 5 years ago, the Bush regime, in its astonishing foresight and dedication to peace, justice, and freedom, liberated 50 million people in two terribly oppressed countries. Man, I think for the first time in my life, I am glad to be an American. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. about 7 past the hour. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for hanging around. Last email, then to your phone calls, another one from Prairie 2 regarding plagues. Mike, this is what happens to you if you live too close to evil. New Hartford, Iowa, the hometown of Senator Chuck Grassley, was one of the small Iowa towns laid waste by an EF5 tornado that was two-thirds of a mile wide and carved a swath 70 miles long. A total of 7 people died in that storm on Memorial Day Sunday afternoon. Grassley reports he watched the storm go by from his house less than a mile and a half away. Because of torrential rains over the past few days, the town is now completely underwater, even though that area is by any measure on high ground. Reports of an advancing plague of locusts is unconfirmed. Oh, God. We definitely have had some wicked weather, haven't we? That's really not something I should say, since we have not had anything but in the terms of wicked, except a few storms and some heat, while the rest of the country really is suffering. To your phone calls, Jennifer is calling from Chicago, listening on the Internet. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am good. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the energy crisis you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm here in Chicago, and for me it really is a crisis because gas for regular is $4.39 as of today.
Yikes.
And I only have a four-cylinder car, a regular four-door car, and I have to pay $80 a week to get back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm.
And as a black, single, young female and mother on $35,000 a year, $220 a month, you know, and then to turn around and get a gas bill that I normally pay $186 for, and they tell me, oh, due to price increases, it's going up to $252.
Mm.
That's $600 a month. That's just on gas.
Mm.
That's not even to feed my son. That's just gas. And the fact that the GOP blocked windfall profit tax is just amazing to me.
Isn't it?
I'm just sitting at my computer, even though I'm at work, I'm not supposed to be doing it, but I check the blogs to see what's going on because I'm only 26, but I'm very aware and active. And I saw that, and I just sat there like, are you serious?
What do you think, Jennifer, it would take to turn things around where it concerns the high cost of energy? In this case, I know what you're talking about, gasoline and natural gas, energy to heat your house, drive your car. What do you think it's going to take?
I honestly think it would have taken for more people my age to have been more aware back when it was going from 116 to 199 to 250. I think education and awareness is what it takes. We've all just been complacent, just walking around here. You know, I hear so many young people say, oh, politics, I don't pay attention, it doesn't affect me. Well, now, I mean, hello, is it affected you enough yet?
Mm-hmm.
When you start paying attention, I think we need to be more aware, more active. And the only thing that stops me, seriously, and this is a compliment to you and your wife, that stops me from going and just sitting in the middle of the street and doing nothing, as you had suggested earlier on, is your show. I am a Nova M founder. I'm sometimes late to work because I have to download you in the morning because I'm not leaving out of this house unless I have you on my MP3 player. I mean, the people at my job think I have Tourette's because I just burst out laughing, and they don't know I'm listening to you. I mean, at the things you say. That's the only thing that's keeping me sane right now is listening to you and knowing that there's someone else out there who's not crazy or maybe is crazy, but, you know,
is
understand
crazy.
You know?
Yeah, it is crazy. Well, Jennifer, that I'm just blown away. I thank you so much for saying that. As Randy says to some of her callers, I'm going to say it to you. I love you. Thank you so much for saying what you said.
I love you too. Thank you for keeping it real. I mean, you have me cracking up. I think you are like an honorary black person for real. You just keep me cracking up, and I want to thank you for everything that you do.
All right. Well, Jennifer, we didn't solve anything, but thanks a lot for checking in. Take care. Take care, and I hope you call again. $7,000 a year out of her income for gas and gasoline. We, Kathy and I, have tried. We've done everything we can to cut our expenses. The county we lived in had a rebate, $100 rebate, for houses that would put in low-flow commodes. So we did that. And it took about 6 weeks, but we got the money. And the water bill's already down. We try to recycle as much water here as we can because of the drought we've dealt with. We have zero commute because our studio is right here in our home. And when I hear like Jennifer or just, you know, anybody talking about what they're faced with, you know, I think about my little world and what I'm faced with, you know, my little corner reality, and it is nothing compared to what I hear. Sometimes we don't do a lot of the stuff we'd like to do, simply because, well, truth be told, we just can't afford it. I don't know what y'all think I make, but it is not six figures. How's that? And some in this business make seven. So, you know, we, like a lot of people, we just kind of take note of this. I'm trying in the remaining years I have to work to try to set something up, a college fund, one of these tax-deferred college funds for Molly. My other kids are all grown. So I just, you know, have to think about her. But I think about, and I listen to, and I read the papers, especially here in Atlanta, where there is a high poverty rate. It's a massive metropolitan area, about 5-6 million people. But city of Atlanta, high poverty rate. A school system that is one of the worst in, and I'm talking about Metro Atlanta, not just Atlanta City. Atlanta City schools are not all that bad, but Metro Atlanta, terrible school system that are preparing these kids for nothing, absolutely nothing. A kind of religious fundamentalism that encourages stupidity and ignorance, and, you know, it's that same old story. That same old story. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You'll be okay. When you die, what happens when I die? You go to heaven. If you behave yourself, don't make any noises, don't make any fuss, do what you're told. Anyway, Jennifer, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Chris is calling from Unionville, Connecticut, listening on Sirius. Hey, Chris. I got just time to say, hey, Chris.
Oh.
And I got to put you on hold, and then I'm come back and we'll talk, all right?
That's an honor, just to hear, hey, Chris, from you, sir. Listen, I just wanted to throw in real quick before your commercial break here that some talk show hosts, my God, need to make seven figures to afford 4,000 Oxycontin per month.
That's
48,000 per year. I don't know about your HMO, but it doesn't cover it in mine.
Hold on. We'll be right back. No, I don't have an HMO. What do we have, Kathy? What do we have? PPO. Yeah, we've got a fairly good health insurance policy, but that's through our union. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. This is Nova M.
Keep getting higher. It's evil out there, man. That state is always on fire. Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. things are tough all over on Earth.
Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 22 past the hour. We were talking to Chris, who called in from Unionville, Connecticut, listening on Sirius. All right, where were we?
Well, we were just talking about some certain talk show host's pill-popping habit. You know, incidentally, most physicians would actually prescribe 2 to 4 tablets per day of Oxycontin versus what the pig man has been known to use in his heyday. But listen, Mike, first I wanted to say just a happy early Father's Day, first and foremost to you. And I know you have multiple kids and various divergent ages, but first let me say thank you personally because Molly's excellent photo from the website there with her wearing the Worst President Ever t-shirt.
Yeah, isn't that great? You know where that t-shirt came from?
No.
That's from Bart Kopp.
Oh, that's excellent.
Do you know that website?
Oh, absolutely. You kidding me? Mike, I know all the websites you're talking about. Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, he uses those for fundraising, I think, and they're great, great T-shirts. I've got one that I occasionally wear here in Atlanta, but only if I'm armed.
Understandably so. But listen, I did want to say happy early Father's Day, because here's the deal. When I heard you come
around. Well, thank you. That's real nice of you, Chris. Thank you very much.
Well, you know why I say it? Because I'm a father, too. I've got a 10-and-a-half-year-old daughter who's beautiful and wonderful, and a 5-year-old son who's raring to go to kindergarten. Mm. And the way it is they are a reminder for us. Well, I recently had a conversation with my uncle, who, incidentally, we're going on we're dubbing it the Sanity Retreat this weekend in upstate Massachusetts, trying to get away from phones, technology, everybody, so we can sit, burn fire, drink brew, and talk about real serious issues. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
just to get away. And we're fathers, sure. All three of us, my cousin and my uncle and I. And they asked me, like, look, you know, when you talk about all these, you know, 9/11 truth issues and all the crap that's going down with those government, how do you get up? How do you keep going from day to day? And I had to wait and pause for a second. And the answer leapt right to me. I said, the only thing I have to look at is my kids. I mean, and every parent who has a child and pays attention to that child and is present in his every moment is possible with the child can understand one beautiful thing. They're perfection. They're perfection, mm-hmm. Mike. We bring them into the world, and it's up to us to set them straight and get them going on their own 2 feet to be upright citizens in this ridiculous experiment in a Republican, the democracy we have here. And we hope the best for their future, but they are my touchstone. They are what ground the reality for me of the importance to everything that we talk about and you talk about every single night on this most auspicious and incredible of radio shows. I mean, it's quite simple, Mike. I've heard from everybody from Greg Palast to Noam Chomsky and others talk about we have to become the media. You and I both know that if you don't turn on your TV, you're not missing anything. You're not missing anything. It's the methadone metronome. It's what's been used to disorient and disillusion and disenfranchise every single American. And few people have the mental wherewithal, the tools, the time, the patience, the critical thinking skills to sit back and analyze the spoon-fed garbage that they're ingesting every single day. And even if somebody says, well, look, there's got to be some good in it, right? Like some of that children's program at PBS is pretty good, and, you know, some of those nature programs are damn useful. Well, yeah, all fine and good. But would you say the same thing, say, if you whipped up a batch of cookies and you said, all right, look, here's some delicious chocolate chip cookies freshly baked by Mommy. Delicious. All I got to tell you is there's just one teaspoonful of dog poop in there. You know, would it make any difference? Do you think the child's going, oh, yes, just if it's only a little, it's okay. It's not okay. What Denis Jasinich did, he did what is constitutionally required, like you've talked about. Mike, I went to law school. I was just an avowed liberal English major, you know, philosophy major in college, and seeking the underpinnings of the legal structure to see how it is that everything that's been going on around us has been allowed to been perpetrated. And then what happened? The Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ended, as you've said in this program, representative democracy when they decided to intervene and overstep their constitutionally mandated bounds of action. And they decided to send us down this path to hell. A enough is enough. We, as a proud founding member, I can only appeal to every single Nova M listener, Mike Malloy listener, Jeff Barrios listener, to become the media. There cannot be any better or more important moment than right now to do this. I think you know this. And here is one last thing. Remember you talked about the main core the other night. Just today, if you look at IBM's website, they've announced the big latest technical barrier has been broken, the petaflop barrier, Mike. This means that the actual Defense Department down in Los Alamos, later to be installed this year, via 21 tractor-trailer trucks, is going to transport this monolithic computer, supercomputer system developed by IBM so it can now have the capacity to process 1,000 trillion calculations per second. That is scary.
Well, that's about what it's going to take to keep track of the NSA spying on Americans.
Exactly.
Hey, Chris.
Exactamundo.
I got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. Thank you so much for the good wishes. And back at you. Happy Father's Day to you. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Ain't gonna take none of you.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Monica is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Monica.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. First of all, I just want to thank you for everything you do, because I know you're on the same time zone as we are, and, you know, from 9 to 12 is late, and... and we appreciate it. I appreciate it. So,
well, thank you.
I just wanted to comment on last night on the hearings on C-SPAN. I sat there for over 3 hours. Actually, I think it was before the program started, and watched through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And this morning, not on MSNBC, not on CNN, nowhere was there any coverage. And I've got to say, I'm not even surprised.
No.
I'm not surprised in the least, because I'm just so, I'm very disillusioned by our government. But what I must say is that I find it disheartening that Nancy Pelosi, not even out of dignity, will take a step to support this man and his initiative. And I just find that absolutely abhorrible.
I do too. And it's something I can't understand. I don't get this. I really don't.
Yeah, I can't get my head around that. I know why, you know, because she's complicit in a lot of things, but our system is so broken. I don't know what to think anymore. And I think your previous caller said it very eloquently. And because I was going to say, you know, I think our problem is apathy, and I was going to say ignorance, but I think ignorance is probably too harsh. And the problem is that we're a very uninformed, you know, for the majority, Americans are very uninformed. While I sat there last night and, you know, and looked at this for 3 hours, I can tell you that my fellow Americans were probably watching Dancing with the Stars or whatever is on. I don't even know, because I don't watch TV.
Well,
it's heartbreaking.
You know, when I say I don't get it because the Democratic Party won't do anything, I have a lot of friends who really, really, whenever I say something like that, either tell me directly or email me and say, you know, Malloy, for somebody who's been on the planet as you are, you're very naive. For someone who keeps track of the political machinations of these two parties, you're very naive. Why would Nancy Pelosi do anything? Is the rejoinder I get from these people. Why would she? And I guess that's correct. Sometimes I think I'm stuck in a time warp, maybe to the same degree that you are, Monica, where you still think, because I still think, that you know, the good guys are the Democrats, the bad guys are the Republicans. Truth and justice will out. We'll get through it somehow. And then I watch this administration commit these acts, and the Democratic Party does nothing.
Nothing.
And okay. and it's like, you know, who's delusional, me or the Democrats? And I'm beginning to realize it's me. It's not them.
Yeah, exactly.
They are performing in a manner that is consistent with what a corporate state demands from all political parties involved. In this instance, it's only two. I am the one that's delusional. I'm the one that's suffering from bouts of paranoia and massive valleys of depression and what feels sometimes like total schizophrenia. It's not them. It's me. And
yeah.
And that's, you know, that's difficult. It's difficult to accept that kind of a self-diagnosis. You know, look in the mirror and say, it's not them, Malloy, it's you. You're crazier than hell. It's you. Give it up, pal. That's, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Perhaps, you know, yeah, we are delusional. Because the Democrats, I believe, I've always been a Democrat.
Yeah.
But now I just think, well, they're the lesser of two evils. But, you know, for a long time I felt, you know, well, the Democrats are just a bunch of spineless, gutless, and crooks as well.
Yeah.
And liars.
Well,
just a bunch of politicians. I'm fed up.
We got to figure out ways, since we are delusional, we have to figure out ways to laugh and to cut these people down with humor. You know, I think, all right, who in talk radio do I know? Mark Maron, Stephanie Miller, you know, people that can go after these scum with the kind of humor. Bill Maher, what's his name on The Daily Show? John Stewart.
Oh, John Stewart, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Keith Olbermann. This is what the group has come down to, people like that who can make us sit back and kind of laugh at this. But it's not over till it's over, Monica, so, you know, I'm sure.
We'll see what happens, but I'll keep in touch. And again, thanks for everything, and thanks for educating.
Well, thank you for being there. We're just do a talk show. But thanks, Monica. I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, God.
I think they like you. They really, really like you.
Nah, it's the empathy that people who are losing touch with reality start to share. There's something about mass hysteria that can, under the right circumstances, be almost comforting. You know, if you feel like you're an hysteric on your own, it's very scary. If you feel like you're going crazy with a bunch of other people right along with you, it's kind of like, I hate to keep making drug references, but I don't know what else to do. It's from my generation. It's kind of like when, you know, people would do hard drugs, the real psychedelics, singly by themselves, out in the woods sometimes or up in the mountains, for the enlightenment. But for fun, you didn't ingest, you know, a couple of 100 mics of Orange Sunshine or something, and then just, you know, be by yourself, not unless you were already crazy. You know, you hang out with people, you know, you do things. And the whole reality of LSD was the fact that it was non-reality, at least non-consensual reality. And that's, you know, politically speaking, that's craziness. Okay. Was it Thomas Zaz? Was he the, was it Thomas Zaz? The renegade psychologist who said that schizophrenia is a political label. This is from Paul. Subject line, I'm a pizza delivery guy. He writes, you think this gas crunch is bad for the normal commuter? I deliver pizza here in central New Jersey, and I have to fill it 3 times a week. That's 1.5 a week. I have to deliver 55 hours a week to make enough to rent an apartment and pay a car loan. Times are tough, and I'm afraid it's only the beginning. Keep it lit, Mike. Yeah, I hear you, Paul. I hear you. George is calling from California, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, George.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, I appreciate what you do. You're the only one who has the cojones to tell the truth. Tom
okay.
Hartman, I'll go with him. You still there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and it's just unbelievable. I think you hit it on the hammer.
Yeah?
I think Israel is going to bomb Iran. And I think Congress is in the cahoots with Bush. I think you figured it out. I think that's why you're a little depressed about now.
Well, but, that could be, but I'm not the only one who's figured it out.
Well, you're right. I mean, we got a big problem when the media won't mention what Dennis said last night. There's a big problem. There's corruption, and I think there's corruption on both sides of the house.
Were you surprised this morning to George when you realized that there was not going to be any reporting to speak of at all about these articles or this resolution calling for impeachment last night? Were you surprised?
No, I pretty well knew everything he said was absolutely true, and I knew that the media, if you listen to Fox News, they're the worst. That Hannity, that man should be taken out and held for treason along with him.
Yeah, but I have to say, even though I said last night, watch tomorrow how this does not get any coverage. When it got no coverage today, I was surprised. I thought surely this will get the attention of television, especially because it has drama, it has intrigue, it has every element that makes up a murder mystery, a good piece of fictional writing. The horror, of course, is that it's all true. But if you look at the intrigues of the Bush crime family and how Dennis Kucinich, brought the hammer down last night, this has all the elements of a great novel, a good piece of fiction. It's it got no coverage. And that's what television deals in is fiction. So I was just amazed, surprised, chagrined that they didn't do anything about it. George, I got to leave it there. Thanks.
Okay, well, Mike, you called it, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Take care, George. Take care. Yeah, all the elements of the immovable object and the irresistible force kind of merging in coming together like a super conductor. What is that thing that spins the what's that called, Kat? A superconductor? The one that's going to cause a black hole in the superconductor centrifuge or whatever that's going to cause a black hole that's going to eat the entire Earth. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Before the hour, yeah, Ian screams into my headphones from Phoenix, Super Collider! Well, whatever it is, it's going to create this black hole that's going to eat all of us alive. 10 before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls, and Billy Foster, our technical director, Ben Birch, the podcast manager, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Sharon Gordy. Our three chief correspondents and writers and philosophers, and Catherine Bay, who's the executive producer. Don't forget, Thursday, night after tomorrow, Vince Bugliosi will come on the Malloy program. We haven't had him on in, 10 years? Way back in the first the attack on Clinton, and then the Supreme Court ruling that gave the presidency to Bush. So this will be his third appearance, but it's been a long time. He has a book out about indicting George W. Bush for murder. I can get my head around that. Like, wow. Pete is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Pete, welcome to the program.
Hey there. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you Mikey. That's not right to do that. I just want to tell you, man, make sure you take your baby aspirin a day and have a nice glass of wine.
I do both.
I don't want you to have a freaking stroke.
No, not me. Not me. My blood pressure runs from 106 over 65 to, on a bad day, 128 over 78. So, no, trust me, I'm cool.
Well, that, you know, we worry about you because we love you out here, man. I'm out here in not too far from Paradise Valley, the land of Republican homesteads out here. It's just unbelievable. It's really sickening sometimes. I can hardly stand it. I wanted to tell you, there's a couple of books I wanted to recommend. They haven't been properly vetted, but I'm sure your readers can figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
One is Iron Triangle by this guy Tim Briody. About the Carlyle Group. You probably have heard it.
I've heard the title, but I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
Well, you know, just for a primer on the Carlyle Group to get people going
okay,
on that.
Okay, the Iron Triangle, okay.
The Iron Triangle. Then the other one is Tim Weiner's book, Legacy of Ashes, History of the CIA. Really, oh, my God. I mean, it's enough to make you want to throw up. And it goes into the Dulles brothers and all the dirtbags that have, the right-wing radical nutcases that have been in the CIA since the days of the OSS.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure there's some people that are well-intentioned in there. When I was a kid, I'm the World War II generation, post-World War II like you. And I grew up like my scoutmaster was in Bastogne, so mm-hmm. I lost an arm over there. So I guess what I'm getting at is the macho factor, the testosterone factor. We've got to deal with that in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of we owe this loyalty, this war loyalty to the World War II generation. They fought, they killed, you know, we massacred, we did what, you know, and I'm not saying I shouldn't, the massacre is not the word I was trying to use.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in other words, we fought brutally a brutal enemy. And,
right.
You know, Joseph Stalin and Hitler were to be feared. They were crazy as hell. And but this is not that time, and all wars have a cause, and the cause is a lack of attention to detail prior to the onset of violence.
That's
you
true.
Know, and,
yeah,
and that's what we got to get into, and that there are ways around dealing with Iran besides this violent business of bombing and the whole business of Ehud Olmert and his troubles politically. And the idea that he's going to bomb and then drag us into it, which is, you know, high likelihood. But that's why I wanted to mention those books. Give people a better understanding of the history leading up, and it'll give you a lot of ammunition to use against the right-wingers as we approach the election time. And, you know, we got to concentrate. The Democrats, realistically, is the only hope that we have at this time, you know, and as we move past this in the next election cycle, we can work towards the development of a third party, perhaps. But for right now,
or just cleaning out the dead wood from the Democratic Party.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, just get rid of the dirtbags.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to say is Dennis Kucinich, man, he is the man. I mean, for a little guy, I mean, his wife is so beautiful, and I mean this in the most innocent and kind way. She's just so hot.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You never would suspect this little guy. I mean, he's like the human tripod. Talk about cojones. You know, he's the man. And
well, maybe
once she fell in love with him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure one of the reasons, if not the primary reason, is because he is he has a decent soul. He's a good man. He's you know, and I know in our celebrity obsessed and saturated society, you know, it's not who you are, what you do, it's how you look, and that's disgusting. Pete, thanks, man. I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in. I do appreciate it. We're just about out of time, aren't we? Huh? We still got a minute? All right. Bruce is calling from California, listening on the internet. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, listen, I know you're running short on time. I just want to make a brief comment on the some of your energy comments that you made earlier. The problem with solar power is that there just isn't enough of it. And I say that, I mean, it's known that there's about 1 kilowatt of solar energy per meter squared of surface, so that you have an area, you know, roughly a yard square, and you're going to gather up about a kilowatt.
Mm-hmm.
When you break down the efficiency of the solar panels to about 20%, means you get about 200 watts per square meter.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at the real world numbers and the fact that the sun only shines during the day and that we have power consumption 24/7, solar can never be a primary power source. It can be a real good adjunct because, you know, when it's hot and the sun's shining, people run air conditioners and a lot of other stuff, so it really helps.
Yeah, Bruce, I want to have this conversation with you, but we can't have it tonight because we're just flat out of time. I appreciate the synopsis. Maybe we'll do it again, all right? Thanks, everybody, for participating in the program tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.